Welcome to Women's Lax World. Our content focuses on all things women's lacrosse. We believe this sport, and specifically women's lacrosse, is the best and has so much talent, fun, and creativity, and there's not enough coverage. So we're talking about it. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to Women's Lax World, Season 1, Episode 4, coming at you hot. Again, we have three people on this show. Me, Sylvia Queener, we got Bryce Queener, we got Forrest, that's our special guest. Bryce is going to introduce him in a second, but I just want to thank everyone for watching our show, for listening, and make sure to interact with all of us on Twitter. So I'll make sure to post our Twitter feeds in this video and make sure to follow us. But without further ado, Bryce Queener, please introduce our wonderful, wonderful guest for Season 1, Episode 4 of Women's Lax World.
We're so excited to have Forrest Stillwell join us. The current UMass Lowell assistant coach, Forrest, is also coached at UConn and Bucknell, where he's had teams lead the league, I think, in defensive takeaways. I read today, caused turnover stats. I've had some scouting reports from Forrest over the years, just a really, really strong assistant coach in the game right now, by way of Atlanta and Florida, I believe, to the Northeast. And we'll get into Forrest's background a lot later, but one of the great characters on the coaches circuit in the summer to talk lacrosse with, and a barbecue master. So like Sylvia mentioned with social media, I enjoy Forrest's Twitter at Coach Stillwell. So if you don't follow Forrest, get on that. Obviously I'm at Coach Q88 and not at the Drama Queener. But Forrest, can't wait to talk some Lax with you today. Thanks so much for joining the show.
Oh my gosh, guys. I consider myself like some sort of Queener, like distant cousin. I like relate to Penn Yan and as in like my hometown, and I compare it. And then just the lacrosse, I do love our interactions, like on the phone, in person, on Twitter. I do like to troll Bryce, and then I always support Sylvia, so.
I love the support.
Thank you.
Vegas definitely did not have Forrest with the first Penny and shout out on this show, but no. You won that one. All right, I think we're gonna jump right into the ACC, Sylvia, right?
Yeah, jumping right in, start with Division One. I'm just gonna go over some scores from the last week from the ACC. So it's from last Friday, March 12th to today, Thursday, March 18th. So we had a Louisville win over Central Michigan, 11-8. North Carolina win over Virginia Tech, 22-1. Boston College win over Virginia, 20-11. Syracuse win over Notre Dame, 15-12. Louisville win over Marquette, 14-10. Virginia win over Virginia Commonwealth, 15-5. Davidson with the upset over Virginia Tech, 15-8. And UNC just beat Louisville, 19-7. So a lot of scores. What we'd like to talk about first, Bryce?
Well, I think the UNC, Sarah, who has not come on the show yet, claims them to be the greatest team ever. And I'm going to put Forrest right on the spot, right out the gate. Forrest, is this the best lacrosse team you've ever seen at the women's Division One level?
I think it's probably right up there with those late 90s Maryland teams. I think of like Randall and like Kelly Amonte and, you know, gosh, there's so many Missy. There's like 8 Division One coaches from those teams, right? Who went 4 years in a row and won 4 titles, you know, or maybe one of those early Northwesterns. But gosh, I don't think I've ever seen an offense play better together and then just a defense be on the same page. So, yeah, it's probably the best team I've seen in a long time. You know, and you see that they're so loaded with experience, you know, it's impressive.
Sylvia, I know we talked a lot about their defense. And again, did you say, what was the final tonight? They gave up 7. So they still haven't given up 10. We know the goalie's really good. How Forrest, how would you go about scouting them? I can go over maybe, you're coaching D now. So what would you throw at their, I believe you coach D, right? Aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right now?
What would you throw at that offense? I got one for you after, and then Sylvia, you can maybe chime in or not, but what would you throw at them, Forrest?
I don't know. COVID. they are so good. I think I think a zone they're going to shred because their lax IQ is so high. I think you have to sort of mug cutters and pack it in and really force them to take outside shots and rely on your goalie. And even then, they're still going to, they just thread the needle so well. It's going to be a battle, right? So it's like, I'd almost like you beat their offense by not letting them touch it. You run the, like football, you would run the triple option, like possess it forever, win the draws, don't turn the ball over, like take your shots with 20 seconds left and then make them grind. And hopefully you can knock it out. But I mean, I'm doubtful even on that. So
yeah, that's a tough strategy. Sylvia, I'm going to go with face guard everyone. That's what I'm going to go with. Every possession, throw the max face guard in.
Fully extend. Stretch out on the adjacents. We're shutting everyone off.
Slide, send your goalie to help. Just
The double team trap with the goalie and all of it. I mean, I don't know. I like your thought. I mean, it's pretty much the perfect game around the game. Sylvia, I know that Q swept Notre Dame, and you seem to tweet a lot about Syracuse. Someone told me this week, and I'm like, well, we are from upstate. Yeah, I might have been Liza, but somebody said that this week to me. And what did you? I know Emma Ward's caught your eye. What have you been seeing out of Cuse that you like?
Yeah, I tweet about a lot of things right now, and I just tweet the highlights I like. But I do notice I was like, I better share some Notre Dame highlights as well, just to try to be even. But I can be biased if I want. I can't help it. I'm obviously going to be more of a Cuse fan than Notre Dame, of course. Like, I don't even think about them.
They're obviously.
I love Rudy. It's a great movie, but I'm never going to be a Notre Dame fan. Yeah, I mean, just Syracuse it's been so fun to watch. And that doubleheader was really fun. Obviously, you know, I had to go back and thankfully go back and watch it on ESPN on demand. So I watched that first game, watched the second game a couple times now at this point. And it's everything. And it's kind of like UNC for me this year. It is so fun to just break down and watch their draws and watch Mishevsky and watch they do run like a 3-on-3. They run a game within a game off that draw. UNC does the same thing when they're on it. And so I really enjoy watching that. I enjoy watching them have the draw unit and kind of having that specialty, not as much with O and D middies, like the men's game, but I really like that unit and really taking that seriously. And there's just something electric about Syracuse's defense. I think I've been a fan of them and watching for a long time. And I think this is the best their defense as a unit has looked. And I think a lot of that has to do with Asa. I really think that she is such a leader and she is just on there with her angles and stepping out on the right foot and really amping up that D, but they're just so fun. And I think it's kind of like watching their offense as well. They're very similar to UNC. I mean, they're very different teams, but in terms of just having a total package and you do not know who's going to step up. And I think my newest favorite player is Megan Tyrell on offense. I think she is just such a stud and is such a sneaky and dominant feeder. Also love Emma Ward. I obviously think she, you know, Taylor Cummings said it probably before anyone else when she was announcing Syracuse versus Loyola, that she really thought she was a smart and awesome player and we were going to see big things from her. Obviously, I really crush on the orange because I can talk on stuff.
And yeah, I agree with all that. And Forrest, what do you have to add on that?
I think you know what it is. I crush on the orange too. And I've coached in two games in the dome. And I think it's the dome. I think it's the best venue for women's athletics. Army Stadium, Navy Stadium, probably right up there too. But like, if you ever watched a game or played in a game or coached in a game in the dome, it's just a cool thing. The nets, the mute, they've got it all, you know? And it's just, I just think I like ever since you get, if you're ever touch a part of it, or if you ever work like a camp and you're like, all right, I get this vibe and I like it. Yeah.
I think that's an outstanding point for us. And as you imagine that Sylvia scored her first goal when she was playing for Hofstra in the dome, the high bouncer. Was it AstroTurf, Sylvia? I think it might have been Astro. I coached her that year too with Hamilton Men's. The dome was amazing. I was thinking that watching one of their recent games too, of just how nice that is to be all practice inside. I know they have another like baby dome. It used to be Marshall Fieldhouse. I forget what it's called now. But it just makes the offense so fun to be able to play in that every day. And it does scream professional, right? Like, this is big time.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, I love watching their defense too, Sylvia. And the Emma Ward kid is really fun to watch. She goes hard. I liked watching her get fired up. And you posted something tonight, Sylvia, about the Louisville Dodger. And just watching people play with heart and energy and excitement and going hard is just one of the things we love about watching this sport so much. Was that all we were getting to in the ACC, Sylv?
I think we might talk about something else, but I also, you know, I want to say, and I posted a bunch and a couple of these, and, you know, again, shout out to Gary and that creativity, but I mean, believing in the weave and actually putting in the weave in an offensive set, who does that? I mean, and he attacks east to west, he attacks north to south, he does diagonals, they're doing everything on offense, and it is the stuff of that execution. No, it's the stuff that offensive dreams and execution is made of. Because anyone can put that in. I'm just so impressed that they have executed that weave and found about 7 options out of it. So I just blown away by it.
They throw the ball into space better than anyone I've ever seen. Like just, and they just know where they are and they throw it. You know, one of my favorite, when Reggie was there and he was working their D, I was at UConn and we were both Nike schools. And this was like one of the funnier, I think, moments I ever had in coaching is they came all out and they all came out and Reggie and I were dressed identical in Nike gear. It was the most awkward thing I think I've ever been in coaching. And the whole teams both looked at us like these two big guys in beards. And they're like, I'm like, oh, wow, this is so funny. This is so weird. So, but yeah.
Did you ever get a win in the dome for us? Did you get any?
Oh my gosh. No, we lost by 1 year, and we threw a lot of we've got to play against Kayla Traynor twice. Coach Court tried to stop her twice. Didn't happen. Lost by 1 in the last minute the first year. We threw some funky D's at them and just mixed it up. And the next year we tried to do the same thing, and they were like, we're not sleeping this year. They got us pretty good. So it was great.
I got 1 win in the dome, but it's an asterisk because we beat Cornell in the dome. I've never beat Syracuse in the dome, men's or women's or any visit I've been there. We beat Cornell there, though. Tough place to win.
Tough place.
Yeah, tough place to win. And then I think, moving into, we got to give Davidson a shout out. They had, upset 15-8. I also believe it was Coach Wayne's 100th win as a head coach, or whether it was at Davidson or total, I'm not sure, but that's a big win. Any thoughts for us too on that win, or any thoughts too on Virginia Tech?
Davidson is just, they beat High Point, I think, this year. Like they're what's interesting, I see like there's a lot of like sort of sleeper teams that are a tough out. And if you've got kids out with COVID or you're just not your night, some teams are going to get you, and they're one of them. Yeah. Kim is an amazing coach. She played for my boss, Coach Lisa Miller. She's fantastic. Yeah.
At Cuse, I was going to say, she's another upstate native.
It all comes back to upstate.
Always, more than likely. She's from Scarsdale, New York. I thought she was from Cuse, but she's from Scarsdale. I'm on her bio right now. That score shocked me. I'm not going to lie. I was like, whoa. But like you said, this is going to be one of the most unique seasons we've ever had. I can't believe we're basically right now a year from last year when we were shut down. I believe this was the week. So crazy. So we were done. We just canceled like a week ago. So crazy. Everybody's back and playing and we're moving on. But Big Ten's playing all against themselves, as we've mentioned every week, right? So what's our update in that conference?
Not as many games obviously played. So we got, from last Friday, March 12th to Thursday, March 18th. We have Maryland win over Johns Hopkins in overtime, 9-8. Northwestern win over Penn State, 17-13, which was the second meetup, and it was a big improvement from game one, which was a dominant 24-13 win. And then, today Maryland win over Ohio State, 19-14. And I think, Forrest, if you're rating top 3 teams in the Big Ten, how would you rank it?
Oh, my gosh. They are. They're also tough. Like even what we watched a little bit of that Maryland Ohio State today. Northwestern, I think is a notch above. And then it's just sort of a toss up of Penn State, Maryland, Michigan. Right. But don't sleep on Rutgers or they'll get you. Don't sleep on Hopkins. They'll get you. Don't fall asleep on Ohio State. Like That conference has the most depth at any conference in the nation right now, I think. So
I think it's fun, right? I think one and two for me, you know, I think, you know, obviously Northwestern's head and shoulders above the rest. I was happy to see that score get a little tighter in the second game versus Penn State. But, you know, I think for that two position, I think it's Penn State, you know, they've proven that thus far. And then that three spot is tough. And yeah, you don't want to call anything out and say it because then, you know, someone's coming at you.
Yeah. They can all play.
I think you nailed it, both of you, but I also just listening to you talk about it, how much of these teams the rivalries strengthened, and I don't want to say hate each other, but maybe strong dislike for each other in the future, because this is just going to be a tough season. We're about to start Big East play and play teams tough play teams twice in a weekend, which is going to have its challenges. Are you guys doing that in the American East Forest? I'm trying to look at your schedule right now.
No, we're playing two extra conference games in the America East.
Okay.
So we're going to play Vermont twice and Hartford twice. So, yeah, we're already into our schedule. We played Stony Brook last week and Binghamton the week before that.
Shout out American East Conference, the first conference I coached in. That's a tough conference. A lot of good lacrosse schools. They made about 10 years ago said they wanted to be really good at lacrosse. So they threw a lot of support towards lacrosse, and that's gotta be a fun conference to coach in. What's your, I think you said you got Hartford this weekend, the Battle of the Hawks, Hawks versus Hawks.
Yeah. We just came off of Stony Brook, which is like, I think I've coached against Stony Brook in every, no matter where I've coached, I've always ended up somehow coaching against Stony Brook, which is just amazing. And I know Coach Joe and Kim, and that's Greg for a long time. And that's a neat stadium to play at too. That's a great lacrosse environment as well. When there's people there, like that's like knowledgeable fans like going nuts. So yeah, you know, we're so young, like we're starting 10 underclassmen, and, you know, and our freshmen didn't have a season the year before. So you're like, why are you making those mistakes? And they're like, oh, I didn't play my senior year. When you make that big jump as a player,
yeah.
I got one freshman. She's cool as a cucumber. I go, how come you seem pretty to handle this really well? She's like, oh, well, my last game was the state championship game in New York. I'm like, oh, all right, you got it. This is all, nothing matches that really right now.
That is a fascinating point. We've been talking about a lot this season as well. Like, they didn't have a high school season and all the things that come with being a senior and leading the team and really getting to, you know, be the best player on the field a lot of times. Gonna be a big challenge. It's still that you're not playing this season, so you're gonna have kids out for a couple of years, and definitely gonna be challenging in the future.
Well, you go from seeing someone the last time they were first year, you come back they're a junior.
It's
and you never are practicing together. So, you know, it's also, yeah, it's fascinating, and it's been a great time of experimenting.
There's going to be a few schools like that, right? Middlebury, some of the Ivies. Like, it'll be really interesting to see. Like,
I mean, you would have told me last year, I thought we'd seen it all, right? I thought we, at this point, some of us have been coaching 15, 10, you know, years now. And we're like, you thought you'd seen it all.
You did. This is an entirely different challenge. And I think it's challenging to be in season. It's challenging to not be in season and be in the minority in that, because again, it's Ivy leagues aren't playing. Is that it for D1? Anyone else opted out?
No,
not yet.
Just Ivy leagues, and then we have, I don't know if any D2 opted out for women's lacrosse, and then with Division 3, it's, you know, four teams in LA County opted out, and then you have, yeah, Middlebury, Bowdoin's out, Swarthmore, Haverford.
Bowdoin said they're out.
Yeah, so those ones are out. Oh. It's not a lot, you know. There's a very, it's really interesting to see that. And we'll see how that unfolds. But yeah, I thought I hit almost every challenge as a coach. And then you hit that and you realize, well, I recruited my best class that I've ever recruited as a head coach, and I don't get to work with them in person most of their career right now.
So. Well, back to the teams that we're playing, because that's a whole podcast in and of itself right there. We'll get back into that. We mentioned Forrest is from Florida. Huge news out of Florida. Jacksonville upset Florida. I didn't see it coming. So did you guys, did you watch the game, Sylvia? What was your takeaway from that one?
Well, you know, shout out to Alyssa Murray, who tweeted about the update of the score, because I was watching, I believe, Boston College and Virginia game. And so she, you know, said the score. So I immediately, you know, got the game up. It was streaming on YouTube, and I watched the last 20 minutes. So it was really exciting. So I got to watch that. And, you know, I think electrifying. They had so much talk about energy and talk about grit and work ethic and just momentum. I think they just had the full momentum, and it was a lot of momentum. So it was just super exciting. Forrest, did you have thoughts about that upset, that game, that matchup?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I'm from Florida. My dad's a Gator. I grew up near Gainesville. I've worked both their camps. Like, I broke into college coaching through Mindy McCord. So I love both those programs, and they both have like amazing lacrosse facilities. I think JU, what you're seeing is a team that has been very good in their conference and been on the bubble of big breakthrough wins. Like, they almost beat Michigan in the Big House in the NCAAs two years ago. They've almost beaten Duke in the past, and things just came together well for them, you know. And if you bring great energy, you know, just, you know, like you see some of these other schools like a Davidson, there are tough outs, you know. So it's just exciting to see. Mindy McCord is one of the nicest people I think you'll ever meet in women's lacrosse. There's no doubt that Florida will be back and fired up and not sleep on anybody. So it'll be exciting to see if that rematch happens in the NCAAs.
Oof, that'd be pretty cool. Now, you said you got into coaching through Mindy. What was that work in Jacksonville, college coaching, you said? Because I know you were at Holy Innocence.
Yeah.
In Atlanta, right? Holy Innocence.
Oh, yeah.
State champs, right? I think you were state champs, no?
Lost in the state championship.
Lost in the final.
Yeah.
Give us that story.
That's a really cool story. I mean, that's sort of, I started out as like an English teacher coaching football, and I moved up to Atlanta because I wanted something a little bit bigger. And I had coached girls sports, or, you know, now women's sports, for a number of years, and they're always better than my male sport teams. I don't know why. Like, I had a state champion girls weightlifter. I had like soccer. My soccer team was undefeated. I know nothing about soccer, but I'd read Phil Jackson's Sacred Hoops, and we put in the triangle offense in soccer. Like, such random things. And I had the softball. I taught myself how to fast pitch, and we were a great team. And so the AD's like, "Hey, I want you to take over women's lacrosse." I'm like, "You're crazy! Like, that team's never won more than two games." And I really think he wanted me to take it over because he wanted to fire me. And then the headmaster's like, "Hey, this, no one knows what's going on with this sport, but it's growing like wildfire. If you can do a good job, you can go anywhere with it." I'm like, "Oh, that's great advice." So I took it. I coached it like football. Like, I broke everything down. Like, I used to call clears, rides, and 8 meters in the draws. That was like special teams. I'm like, "All right, we're working special teams," you know, like, and so I had great assistants and good people. And we just like, I recruited like crazy. And within the school, I developed, and we just developed. And then I started hauling kids to camp all over the South. Is, what should you do with football? Right? Remember, like, coaches would drive you to camp. I started taking girls to camps. We went everywhere. And I would start going to JU. I started meeting coaches, and I was able to meet Randall Goldsboro, who's broke in at Bucknell. And when she got the job, she offered me the assistant. And that's how I got it. And that's like my story. So like, I can't throw with a men's stick. I know nothing about the men's game. So I feel like, even though I'm a male, I'm like, "Oh, I'm so pumped to be on the women's lacrosse podcast, because like, I don't know anything about the guys' game. I can't contribute. I'm all women's lacrosse." So... Yeah, that's like my story in a little bit, but that's how I broke in. So it's been a great journey. I've loved it. So, yeah.
That's quite the story. And I think a unique perspective. And I think I love, you know, when we talked about a 2-year football energy, that background and coming at it. And I almost look at it the same way, as special teams, as each thing's its own part. And, you know, so many specialty factors of our sport, and that's what makes it really exciting, and it's always changing, which I personally love, because it really helps with never being complacent. But we're happy that you're in the game. You're hilarious. You're a great coach. You're so fun to chat with. So I never heard that. That's amazing.
I mean, I was like telling kids, I'm like, "Hey, run a wheel route against the ride and that'll drag their safety over. And they're like, safety. I'm like, oh, the midfielder. And before, you know, like.
I mean, it's true, though. All sports fit back together. Sports. I remember Forrest and I met at the Triple Threat Camp in Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. area. And I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, who's this guy? I know every guy that's played the game. Like, what? How do I not know this guy? And then Forrest told me that story. Gosh, it's almost 8-9 years ago now. And we've stayed in touch ever since. I'm going to break into this. Lex, talk about it. I'm going to throw another subject in here. We're going to talk about another one, but the camps, because we met at camp. Forrest, we've talked about this. The NCAA is now saying they might push us out of June again to work, not be able to work camps with kids. And like I just mentioned, that's where we met. That's like a lot of the fun of this. One of the reasons we're doing the show is because we're not getting to see our friends at camps. How important do you think that is in a player's journey and meeting coaches and the coach's journey and all of it?
Oh my gosh, great question. So I think, yeah, it's twofold. For a coach's journey, working camps, and I say camps, I mean, like, we all want to sometimes work those camps. We're like, we'll pay you $1,000 to show up. And you're like, all right, cool. But really, it's like, I'm going to go to this camp. And it's a shame because, like, three-day camps have become a bit of a dinosaur. But I'm going to go to this camp, and I'm going to work with a bunch of coaches at University of Virginia. And I'm going to network that way. You had Karen Maurer, and I remember meeting her. She was doing the same thing. Like, you used to go to Duke camp. You used to go to, like, Carolina. Like, these big Princeton camp was always a big one. Nike Cup at Syracuse, I think, was one of the best, where you got to know coaches and just meet people and you build relationships. And it's also cool because you're in this little bubble for, like, 3 days of, like, these are your best friends. And then you leave and you like, see them again. But I think for a coach, it's critical just to learn. I think for a player, and, again, like, this is one of the things of COVID, like, when we can't have camps and clinics, all of a sudden that venue got filled, and they're bringing in, you know, oh, we're going to do this with these college kids, and, you know, we're going to do this. And it's not the same. Like, if you're a player, like, you're wanting to go and play college across at some level, go visit camps that are going to, we're the best teachers, I think. Right. And go to those camps and learn. If you're committed, go still to your local camp. So if you're a kid in California and you're committed and you're next to Whittier, you should be like, oh, I'm gonna go work with Sylvia. It's like $40 for a few hours and I might learn something. And I'm gonna be better when I go to college. It's this other blank place. Like, I think we're losing that. And that's what worries me about that dead period. And because it's being filled by for-profits. And, like, you know, and I think we do this, we at camps, you get paid money, but it's at the same time, it's nothing like what some of these machines are cranking out. And then if you're a player, like, you know, you're in the state of Florida, you're in the state of Pennsylvania, then you should be at PSU Penn, then go to, you know, one of the local camps, you know, like the Lynchburg camp or something like that, just to get better. Like, that's, and, you know, that's where you're going to improve.
Sure. And I know for me, it's what made me want to be a college coach, seeing the college coaches and working with them. And just, I tweet about it all the time. I just think it's such a big part of the journey for everyone. So what was our other topic? Lax, am I saying it right?
Bryce is just like, let's talk about it, but Lax talk about it. Relax.
Well, you came up with it, so I want to make sure. I still
want to make talk sure. About it.
Yeah, you said
Lax talk about it. It's the transfer portal. That was the topic of the week, so we can Lax talk about it. I think, obviously, many people have, everyone has a take. What's your take about the transfer portal? Obviously, we saw, you know, there was an article with Scott Maher, a little bit of a video, and then you have everyone and their cousin's opinion on Twitter. Forrest, what are your thoughts about the transfer portal and specific to lacrosse, women's lacrosse?
I think it's fine. I honestly think, you know, I mean, I remember in the dark days of early recruiting, like, calling high school freshmen and being like, what are you into? You know, and it was just so terrible. And then you would get like a sophomore to commit who, like, never, you know, and you're like, and you're such a thing. It was such a rush. And as a coach, I can leave whenever I want. So I can bail out and take any other job I want, you know. And as a player, you're a 16-year-old. You should be learning. It's gotten better. But at the same time, it's still pretty early, you know, and the top players are going really quick. It's, you know, so there's a middle ground who sort of commit early, I still feel like, who may not know, want to change majors, want to find something better. I'm like, if it's player beneficial, then let it happen and figure it out. And then if you got guys bailing out, well, then they might have bailed out on you earlier anyway. So, you know, that's on you a little bit as coaches to find the right kids that are going to fit academically and for your culture and athletically. You know, it's sort of a three-legged stool, like, right? You know, your academics, your lacrosse, and the culture of the school, and what do you like? And you want that balance. That's like my recruiting pitch, by the way, all the time. You know, so I'm pro transfer portal, you know, and if you're a kid, I don't think the grass is always greener. I do feel like kids should stick it out and have those conversations, but I do feel like life changes and we have to adapt to it and get, you know, and allow kids that opportunity.
Yeah. I like those thoughts. And I do want to say, like, obviously, you know, we're Women's Lax World, but you know, on Twitter, obviously we follow both sides, and you know, the hot news is obviously on the men's side with the transfer portal. There's more gossip with that, but I will say the biggest name, obviously it happened this last summer, was Charlotte North entering the transfer portal. I think, you know, I think we might see more and more of it, and there will be more talk about it. And yeah, Bryce, you have thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think it's fine. Great. I honestly think I don't.
Fine.
I think it's great, really. I mean, do we want, from a coach's perspective, do you want kids leaving? No, because that means they're unhappy and it sucks, but that's life. I mean, it happens. So Brett used to say to camps all the time, our brother, and it drove me nuts. In the moment, we'd give the recruiting talk before the rules, so we were legal. But we'd always talk about finding the right fit. And Brett would be like, hey, and if it doesn't fit, transfer. I transferred. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I'd always be like, oh, don't say that. Some mom might hear that. And then, you know, the more I've thought about it over the years, he's so right. Like, it usually, if you're transferring, it might make your life better. It might make things better. And I use the job example, like Forrest already brought up. We can leave whenever we want. So I think it's a no-brainer. I think it's really good. I think they've made it easier. I think some coaches do love power, and I think they would hold it over kids. So you say, having those conversations sometimes not as easy as we think it is to talk to us. So I think it's great.
100% amazing. Yeah. It's glorious. I love it. I think it should keep getting, I think the more transparency, the better. And I find this to be transparent. And for them, I just think it's like enough with the power dynamics, with getting hurt, with taking things personally. You know what? I transferred so many times. And of course, Brett shared that there's nothing better than listening to someone with experience. I transferred and played at 3 different programs. I ran away from my problems. I faced the same problems. I ran away from them again. I faced the same problems. You know, it's a pattern. And none of it was on my coaches. None of it was on anything else. It was my journey. And I think we need to just be more transparent about it. I think it's nice. We can see it. I think it's fun. I think it adds more conversations and transparency between coaches. So there's less things behind closed doors and there's more things that's out in the open. So I'm really all for it. And I think it's like, you know, everyone gets to choose their journey and they have to own those choices. And that's that.
And college is expensive. If you have a fifth year, like if you're one of these kids like, oh, I got a year, go do your master's. If you're like, I want to be a teacher, or immediately go get your master's and go play somewhere and go have a blast. You know, if you didn't play that much, drop down to another level and go have a blast. You know, if you want to challenge yourself, like we have a D3 transfer from Ithaca, who had a huge win over Portland. She's really challenging herself and she's playing up. It's great. She's getting her, you know, what's she getting? NBA, you know, it's fantastic.
I'm glad we're all in agreement. It's great. Well, I think it's great. I like you both said it's fine.
Yeah. Not much controversy debate going on here.
No, but there was, you know, Scott Maher on the men's side, kind of the video made him look better, but I didn't love the quotes. And just anytime they're talking about controlling people, it's like, why do you want?
I was surprised coming from him too, in terms of, in some ways he's so about, you know, fostering that creativity, and it's a double-edged sword then you're controlling a little bit or wanting them to work through their problems. Yes, if they don't want to, though, you also don't want them in your program. Like, you know, I just think that's the truth, is people that want to transfer, let them transfer, let them make that choice, you know. And I think, like, you know, letting go of our egos and the power and understanding that it's not going to always be greener on the other side, but you don't even have to say that to the player because they're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
But
D2, D3 updates coming up. Ooh. I got a couple. Forrest, have you only coached D1, high school in Division One? Is that high school
in Division One? I know.
Yeah. Weird. Wow. But you know about the Bombers. You mentioned their win yesterday was huge. Sylvia did some great job with the highlights. Sylvia, I got to say, I love the Instagram account because I don't even have to look up scores that much anymore. I can just get on the IG or your Twitter, and it's helping me a lot. But the scores I saw, Clarkson 22-1 over SUNY King. Our boy Ben Gable, shout out Coach Gable up there in the North Country. It's not easy, not a lot of sunlight. So send this clip to him, but big win for them. And U of R beat Nazareth 11-3. Shout out Subim, head coach at U of R, who we heard stories of at our kitchen table growing up. So she did a heck of a job there. Sylvia, you had some D2, D3s you were looking forward to.
Yeah, and I, you know, obviously shout out to Clarkson. I think they're facing Cortland. That's not the game I highlighted, but they're going to be playing Cortland. So I'm interested to, you know, check that out for D2. And I'm just going to start by saying it was just so nice to scroll and look at all the games that are coming up because now people are getting their season openers. You know, we have more Division III teams playing. So it is just a plethora of games to choose from. So, you know, for D2, I'm excited for Florida matchup. So we got Florida Southern is hosting Florida Tech at 1 p.m. on Saturday, March 20th. And then New Haven hosts Lemoyne at 1 p.m. at the same time on March 20th. And, you know, obviously I am, you know, I'm just interested to watch the Florida teams play. And then I'm really rooting for Lemoyne because I'm obviously have a bias because I love Liz Bevel. So super right. excited about that. She's amazing on Twitter. She's a great person. She's an awesome, awesome coach. So shout out to Liz. And then for D3, and I realized this when I look back, the first two games are all New York. So I tried to switch it up for the third, but I'm looking into RIT is hosting Nazareth. So a great just Rochester rivalry.
Garbage plates. Have you had one, Forrest? Have you ever had that? You have?
Okay. Every Rochester kid or recruit, I'm like, how do you like your garbage plate?
So I will be dreaming about a garbage plate while watching that one. And then St. John Fisher is hosting William Smith on Saturday, March 20th. And then I'm really excited for a midweek game. Trinity College is hosting Endicott. And of course, I'm rooting for Trinity. Shout out to Katie Dissinger. She is an amazing human. Again, talking about camps, you know, someone I met at Western Winners, again, through Teresa Sherry. That's how I met Karen Maurer. She is just an amazing human and has done excellent things at Trinity College. So, you know, a lot of D2s, a lot of D3s I'm looking forward to.
Shout out camps, the triple threat camp that I met Forrest at. I coached with her on our night team together. I was very impressed by her. I think she was an assistant at the time and she had a national championship ring on. I was like, whoa, you've already won an Eddie. And I just one of those coaches when you work with a camp, you're like, oh, you're doing a better job than me. Go for it. You got it. Like, take it over. Yeah. She did a great job. When I got to coach with her, I learned some things from her. So
when I was at UConn, I would go watch Trinity practice. Like they can ball.
They can play, right?
And that Southern Conference, those Florida schools, Rollins, like Florida, like St. Leo, Tampa.
Tampa's so good too. Yeah.
I don't forget Florida Southern, the Moccasins, who like best mascot, right?
And wasn't Florida Tech like good recently too? Like,
oh, yeah, top 20.
Yeah. Yeah. Like another one popped up. Like, okay, you're going to be good now. Yeah. I bet you Flagler's going to be good in a couple of years. Like,
oh, yeah. You know, those are all the kids who are like, oh, I can go somewhere warm and play. Yeah. It's amazing. You know, like,
yeah, there's so much talent. Obviously, it's like, you know, I'm going to share more and more clips. I think we obviously know. And again, I'll say it, you know, I think women's Division One lacrosse is more creative and more exciting than men's. And I think Division Two and Division Three is getting better and better and better. I think there's a lot of talent. And, you know, if you're not paying attention, start paying attention and start supporting because there's just so, so much talent in all three divisions.
Okay, we got some cues.
Oh, wait. We forgot my.
I messed up. I'm sorry.
It's all right, real quick. I'm going to try to share my screen because I've never done it before, and I usually fail at this. But again, we got Big Stick Energy. goes obviously the upset, and we're just going to play Duncan Boone on the videography with this clip. I'm not sharing the sound, but I just want to say this video got me going. It was
unbelievable.
I think, you know, there's also, if you go to, you know, follow Jacksonville on Twitter or Instagram, you know, they had a great video as well for the post game speech. And it is coach just talking about stats and hyping everyone up and their draw controls and the, you know, the kind of the worker horse stats. And it's just, it's electrifying. And it's so exciting to have more intimate moments and kind of private moments like that. Obviously we've been in Stony Brook's locker room with their post game celebration and song. I'm enjoying getting more content. And I think there's a lot of people doing a lot of exciting things for us to be able to be a true fan. Now we're time for cues from the cues.
Cues from the cues.
Cues from the BBQ man. You need
cues from the cues for the BBQ.
Cues from the cues. A little graphic pops up like boop, 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 boop.
Yeah. I'll put on cues from the cues for the BBQ man.
Well, I'm interested now because we've already touched on a little bit of your background, but what was your first stick? Do you remember the color? The 100%. Type? Did the AD give it to you? Like, where is this one coming from?
Yeah. So I had a great piece of advice early in my career. And it was, and someone else is, don't touch the stick, whatever you do. And I was like, and I go, because the minute you do and you look bad, you lose all your credibility. It was so true. I think my first stick was a De Beer MV3. And that thing was like a tank. It was awesome. And I think I traded it with a kid who had a Solo. Remember those single piece things? They were horrible.
Yeah, Haro.
I was like, these are so bad. Like, you need to trade me and I'll just hold this on the sideline. And I really, guys, I didn't touch a stick for 2 years. I would practice on my own. It's shooting and stuff. So I when I did finally do it, I was pretty, at least halfway decent.
So you hold one now. You will play with one now.
Oh yeah, I play. You know, obviously we have a great, we're sponsored with Maverick and I love their stuff. It's been great. So, but I mean, I've had Under Armour, I've had De Beer, I've had them all, STX, you know, so yeah. Well,
you know, fun fact. I think the Haro Solo, so that was, it came out in 2005. And that was when my parents were coaching the Empire State game. Oh, I was on the Western team. So we got sponsored by them . So our entire gold medal Western team was using the Solos. At the time, I thought it was the best thing since sliced bread. I was like, this is amazing. The head is attached to the shaft.
And the whip was like this thick on ground balls.
I think at one point it got stuck in the ground and I flipped. Like, it was just, it's like a shovel. You want to look for a shovel for the snow race.
I almost tweeted that at you. I'm like, oh, too bad there's no arrows laying around.
It's a shovel. I think Colorado company, maybe. I think they have an office out here. I know they do. We got like a shirt from them last year.
Yeah, so they're probably not going to sponsor the podcast.
Well, I can't speak ill of them because we won, you know, the first gold medal that Western won against Long Island. So, you know, and hey, Solo.
Of course, did you ever recruit the Empire State Games? Are you aware of this?
I have. Oh, I it's funny you guys are talking about like New York and stuff. Like, very early in my career, I figured out that I want upstate New York kids. And I made it an effort to go and find those kids, like Empire State Games. Oh my gosh, what's the one in November of all the high schools? It's like my favorite tournament in the world. And it is like the sneaky good tournament.
The Lax Nations one.
So yeah, Lax Nations, it's right up there with those. Like, I go watch all of those high school games. Like upstate, you guys have said it in the past in your podcast, like whatever it is, upstate New York, Long Island, like there's competitiveness and that small sided stick work. It just makes great cross players.
It's got to do with the weather. I mean, you got to really want it. If you can pick up a ground ball in those muddy tournaments and those things, I guess Lewisburg, PA, is that where you were at in Bucknell? Is that what it's called? That's pretty close. Yeah, we used to drive by Bucknell. Actually, it was one of the, Well, back then when we were kids, one of the only places you drive by that had goals out. So anytime you saw lacrosse goals outside upstate, you're like, whoa, these people have it too. So that was always cool for Buck. Now, let's get your coaching philosophy as best you could say it.
I didn't say it. My favorite author wrote it, Pat Conroy, who passed recently a couple of years ago, who's written amazing books. And he's very similar to me. He uses 20 words when you can use five. But he said the coach, it's in this book, Prince of Tides, which I like. It was one of the first books when I like knew I loved my girlfriend, then now wife. I was like, I gave her this book and I was like, I want you to read this book. And it's nothing about coaching. But he said the coach stands at a young person stands at the door of adulthood and struggles to kick it in. And the coach is the person that stands behind them that helps them kick it in. That's paraphrased. But I mean, that's my philosophy in a nutshell. You know, it's that person that is like going to pick you up and going to help you conquer obstacles, I think, while also sort of challenging you at the same time. And that's what I love about coaching women athletes, because we talked about this with Coach Miller and we do these mental minutes. And we talked about how women aren't taught to advocate for themselves. And, you know, and I think that's like where I've always been like, I'm your biggest fan. So you need to be your biggest fan, you know, and you need to advocate for yourself and push for yourself that you are excellent and that you deserve this, whether it's on the lacrosse field or in the workforce sort of. So that's sort of my philosophy in a nutshell. So
that's great. A great answer.
Thanks.
I almost cried. I got a quick question too, and lacrosse related, because I mean I would end it there because that was such a beautiful question and answer. But what's your favorite rule change in the last 2 years?
Oh, good question.
Oh my gosh. Good question. I mean, I love the shot clock. I think it's changed how we've even coached, because kids now have to think about like, all right, you're down three with 2 minutes left. What's your time frame for scoring? And you have to practice that. That's like a scenario, right? It's like your 2 minute offense. So I think the shot clock's pretty exciting. You know, there was that 1 year where 3 seconds didn't count as a major foul, which I loved. You know, and then they quickly yanked that out. As a defensive coach, I love that. I love the creativity off of 8 meters, though, that you can do now. And I often get frustrated by 8 meters. But some of the creativity of where you can put people and the strategy with it is really cool.
I agree with that. And I think, you know, it all comes down to mindset, because I obviously advocate for 8 meters. I've said it in previous podcasts. I love it. And I do. But there are times where I'm watching both teams play zone and, you know, the offense smartly working it and moving the ball and, you know, finding the shooting space calls. And when it's that predictable, I have to fight against my anger where I'm just like, oh, another 8 meter. But like, if you have a good mindset and you're like enjoying it, it's very exciting. But I agree with those rule changes. Bryce, did you have any different ones that really excited you in the last couple of years?
Great answer. I mean, the self-start in the midfield was huge. I think, I didn't know how that was going to play out. I was remember that year just being like, huh, what? Like, they're just going to run on their own. And like, I mean, I liked it because it was obviously, and we were actually talking today about watching Sarah growing up. I was like, I remember watching them at State Park without boundaries and throwing the ball out of bounds. And so obviously a lot of great changes, but I love also the shot clock started in women's lacrosse and just always being able to throw that out to guys that I'm friends with. Yeah. It's like, I mean, it pushed the guys game to get it. And I know this is a women's podcast, but the guys game was getting so boring without it. So I mean, the women's game really put it out in front. And I thought that was just, I thought to me, and it was a microcosm of what we talk about a lot on the show, which is like, there's more involved. There's more things in this game. That's why we like it more. So that was cool. Great question. So we got to make that one a staple. I think you're onto something here. You're a good host. Forrest, you got the green egg. I'm jealous of the green egg. We had the quarantine. You got a young lad at home. What's your favorite? What's your go-to barbecue right now? What's your best recipe?
Oh, that's easy. I got a good quick one for you. So my go-to, like anytime, like where it's quick or it's tailgate or it's a big group of people, I'm grabbing a bunch of chicken thighs, boneless, skinless, super cheap. And I'm just throwing them on, I'm marinating them in, if you find that Cornell steak.
Oh, Cornell's the best.
The best, right? Woo! Marinating them in that. And then I do, and here's a great Google, and I totally recommend this, Alabama white barbecue sauce.
Oh, you've told me this before. I still haven't had it.
Oh, yeah. This stuff is just, it's easy to make. You can make it a couple.
What is it?
Essentially, it's mayonnaise with vinegar and spices, lemon juice, spices. And you're like, if you hate mayo, but you can also do it with like egg yolk and get complicated, make your own sort of where it's not so mayo-y. But it's just like the best tailgate because you just baste it on there. You throw it on there, you chop it up, and you throw it in a sandwich, and you've got a little bit of sauce, and you got chicken, and it's my favorite. It's like my go-to. And then if I get really creative, I'm doing like a paella on the grill, which I just like sort of fun. So
what do you put in your paella?
It's sort of like whatever I got, you know. I'm lucky I'm New England. We had great seafood. So if I've got a bunch of like great clams, I'm throwing those in there. Or, you know, if we take a day trip and there's some cheap lobster you can find sometimes, I'll throw those guys in there, you know, or just sausage and chicken, you know. So yeah,
I think the chicken thigh is very underrated.
Chicken thigh, totally underrated.
Totally underrated. So
I was telling my players about that.
Yeah, they don't know. They just think they got to go healthy with the organic and the expensive chicken breast, and the thigh gets overlooked. Sylvia, did you have other questions? I was going to end on my barbecue one, but I didn't know if you had more.
Love ending on the barbecue one. I think too, yeah, Forrest, is there anything too you want to share, any topics we didn't cover, any additions you got?
I brought a question with me, actually. So I mean, you should ask that. So you guys talked about this on a previous podcast, but like when you're voting, like, so I'm a top 25 voter this year. And Sylvia, did you say you were too?
Humble brag. Watch out.
They were desperate and they asked me. No, I've done it for a long time. I take a lot of pride in it. But
once you say yes, you never get let go.
I know.
You're locked in.
It's like a mafia. Once you're voting, you're always in. Sylvia, how do you sort of, like this year, sort of how are you looking at ranking teams, and like what's sort of like, what are you looking at? I would love to know that. And Bryce, like if you were like ranking teams this year, like because when I'm making my list, I'm like looking at Denver. I'm like, how do I rank these guys a little bit? You know, how do I rank some of these teams that haven't played much, you know? So
yeah, this year is super challenging. And I actually, something I'm going to probably bring up that I think it needs to be brought up just to help maybe grow the game and some exposure for Division III specifically, and maybe all divisions, is why are we ranking teams that aren't playing games? I think it's fair to do preseason and they get ranked. And then once that's over, whoever's playing games gets ranked. And if we have to wait until, you know, minimum 30 teams are playing, we should do that. But I felt a little odd, you know, voting for Middlebury who ends up not playing for 2 weeks. So I think that something is just a good idea for exposure. And again, you know, I think it also motivate people to start playing games earlier so they could get ranked. And then, right now I'm, I guess, lucky in the sense that I can watch a lot of lacrosse right now. I'm not coaching. I'm obviously doing things virtually. So I am really doing my best to kind of write everything down. And, you know, I have my own spreadsheet. And just kind of like looking at who's playing each other, what stats are, the consistency, and doing my best. And then I used to not do this, and this was my biggest fault, is not knowing how I voted the week before. I would forget and just do it all over again. So it's been super fun, but it's not a, you know, close answer. It's a lot of work. That's what I'll say. It's a lot of work and I never get it right.
No.
I don't know how you do it. It's a lot of work. And I did it in my first job, my head coach did. And I just remember we sat there for 5 hours every Monday, like, but this team beat this team, but they beat them. And like he was, and actually you work with him, Ed Stevenson at UMass Lowell. So Ed would ever, I mean, he would just talk us out of a paper bag in and out of it the whole time, and so I never want to do it again. But I do know it takes a long time, and to your some of the points earlier, some of these teams aren't playing that many games. I was scouting teams this week that one team played 8 games, the other team played 1 game. I'm like, and we've only played 3. So it is nuts. And I know someone else pointed this out to me earlier this season because I thought a score looked off. And I was like, I can't believe so-and-so and so-and-so. And they go, well, the one team just came off a 2-week pause. And I don't think it was national news. So it was like, oh, that's right. Coming back from 2 weeks off of practice and then jumping into a game. And are you supposed to know that? Like, are people, you know, there's all these things going on that I don't know. So, you know, bless both your hearts. Bless you both for doing it, because it is a lot for us. But how are you taking that all into account?
It's interesting because I know some teams are talented that just aren't – you haven't seen it yet. Like what Stanford got, 1 game? And I think Daniel Spencer is one of the amazing coach. Maybe they've got 2 or 3, maybe. You know, same for like USC.
I think two. I think you're right, two. I'll look it up. Yeah.
And my thing is like, all right, if a team is in the top 25 and you get a win this year, then you're in the top 25. So there's some great, like Drexel, that team is super tough and amazing.
We're good.
Temple, I don't know what's in the water in Philly, but it's great. St. Joe's is like
St. Joe's is, you know, really good.
So good. You know, and then right down the water, Wooda, if you're in Baltimore, Towson is a tough, and then Loyola. Like, it's like, how do I place these teams in here? They've all got top 25 wins. And it is interesting because it's like if Mississippi State beats Alabama in football and Alabama's 2 in the nation, Alabama goes to 4 and Mississippi State jumps up to 14, right? So you don't automatically switch them, you know, which I think we feel like some people feel like in women's lacrosse that should happen. I'm like, it's not the case always, you know. So I don't know. It has been an interesting year. It's just sort of show me what you are this week, I guess is what I've said.
Fascinating topic. Way to bring a question. Second person ever to do it. Matt Bakla on the other podcast. So first one on this one, but I would also add the goal every year is to peak at the end. So everybody still got that chance. And I think it was a huge thing in college football this year, right? Like Ohio State, who you probably dislike, your big War Eagle, big Auburn guy. But what, they only play like 5 games and they got in the playoffs?
I don't know. And then they changed the rules. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hate Bama so much. I picked them to win the national championship in basketball just so they would lose, you know, so who knows?
So did you vote Division 1, 2, or so are you just on the D3 vote?
D3. And I think, you know, to be fair, it's like, it's a flawed system. You know, you don't have clear expectations or power rankings or how it's going to go. You don't have meetings beforehand. We all have our biases. We're all in different regions. And, you know, I try to just take that in mind. And like, I'm happy that I'm from New York, but I'm living in California, so I can rank teams in the West region that NESCAC people aren't thinking about. And yeah. I think, you know, that is necessary to happen. You know, my sister's team, Pomona Pitzer, I think if they were playing, they'd be top 10 this year. Yeah.
And you top know, 10. You put them top 10.
I put them top 10. I think, you know, and I think there's just a lot. And I think Colorado College got a really good recruiting class too. And it's just like, when you know those things as well, you can't be objective. You know, coaches, you know, all of these things. And I think that colors the lens a bit. And so I try at my very best to take a deep breath and really try to look at numbers, look at situations. But there's been a lot of people beating a lot of people in a nice circle. Because I feel like it's like, you know, Towson got ranked. You know, I think, you know, did Temple now, but I feel like Drexel should have, St. Joe's maybe. It's like there's Hofstra, yeah. And, you know, there's a circle of people beating each other.
Rutgers, yeah, it's like Austria, yeah. UConn, UMass. Have you guys seen Sidney Watson play, by the way?
Oh, my God. Yes.
That kid can ball.
She can ball. Alyssa Perella, I finally watched Extra Time. Just like, this is an unbelievable amount of athleticism in women's lacrosse right now. Just unbelievable. And then coupled with IQ, it's really a fun time to be coaching in the women's game and to also just be a fan. It's been really fun being a fan.
It is the best game. I can't believe it hasn't quite, it is like shot off amongst kids playing I am so excited for it when it shoots off, really shoots off with people playing, watching. And they're going to be like, oh, where's this been? You're like, it's been here forever. You know?
It's been here.
It's been around, but it's a really good time to become a fan because it does keep getting more and more spectator friendly. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, watching the top five, I just feel hashtag blessed. You know, watching that talent, I think, above the rest has been really special. And then you go to ESPN on demand and you get to watch another random game and you're just like, there's talent everywhere from the top down. It's really exciting. Mm-hmm. But you know, I want to thank you, Forrest, for being with us. I think our time has come to a close. You have been an amazing guest. You're an advocate for the women's game, a coach, an amazing human, a great dad, all of the above, a great barbecuer. What do they call barbecuers?
Pit master.
Yeah.
You're a pit master.
Thank you.
Bryce, any thanks for Forrest?
Yeah, thanks so much, Forrest. I love that this game has brought us all together and we did this tonight. And we wish you the best luck with your season coming up. And thanks so much, man. Can't wait for the Alabama white sauce, white barbecue sauce, Alabama white barbecue.
Oh, gosh. Y'all, thanks so much for having me. As an unofficial queen or cousin, I am so blessed to count you guys as friends and to be on this. So thanks again. I'll come back anytime you want me. So
we will definitely be having you back. Thank you so
playoffs.
Much.
Playoffs. Coming back for playoffs. Bye, Forrest.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in and supporting Women's Lax World. We appreciate you and make sure to tune in next week for a brand new episode.